Alrighty, gamers, what is going on? It is 9 p.m. Eastern time, or so, kind of, right in there. And today, we are going to be doing the best podcast you've ever seen. This is the RGH podcast, the Real Gamer Hour, with MTash, Kakus HD, and True Vanguard, where we talk about the big topics, the important topics, all the gaming things, all the Twitch drama, everything you could ever need. In one podcast.
Oh, and we always got Twitch drama, baby.
We got some of that today.
Was it a new week? Okay, we got some new Twitch drama, baby. You know what I'm saying?
So today we're going to go over a bunch of different topics. We're going to talk about World of Warcraft and the insane meteor growth of Final Fantasy 14. We're going to talk about Nick Smirk hacking in Warzone, kind of. He kind of got hacked, actually. It's actually wild what happened with Nick Merckx. But we're going to talk about all the hacking and cheating as a whole, because these big billion-dollar companies can't deal with it. Right. We're going to talk about YouTube overtaking Twitch and their streaming services. We're going to talk about Netflix offering video games, ? And then there's some big Battlefield news and whatever else we get up to today. So how you guys feeling today? You ready to go?
I'm feeling good. I'm well rested. You know, I got like 9 hours of sleep last night. I've just been cruising through the day, feeling like, is this what life can be like? If you get decent sleep?
With a little bit of sleep?
Is this what it could be like? Man, this is, I can get used to this.
Good, good, good. That's what I like to hear. So today, let's start off with the Final Fantasy stuff. World of Warcraft has been bleeding players for a while. Asmongold has been complaining about it for a while. But one of the constant things is Final Fantasy players, since the inception of the game, have hounded all of their friends to play. You see Blue Westlow saying, hey, everyone, you know, there's free trials. I always see it. It's actually on Mr. Fruits and their podcast, GG Over Easy. It's one of the shticks that they go to is sometimes Blue will just blurt out in the middle of it like, hey, have you guys heard of Final Fantasy 14? And they really do have a loyal audience, but that's because the game has continued to update, has continued to do really well with their updates, and the hype is real. And it's actually been drawing in a lot of new players. Now, one of the big players, Asmongold, who has been, he's one of the biggest streamers, period, on the platform.
He's a WoW streamer, yeah, but he's mainly a WoW streamer, right? So this is like WoW, not WoW's golden goose per se, but like, this is a huge WoW streamer. Right. Obviously, he does more stuff, but he's known as a WoW streamer.
Yeah, like he's
kind of like, he's kind of like what Grenader Jake is to Trials.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, except if all of a sudden Grenader Jake is like, by the way, I'm never playing Trials again because I want to play this game, people are going to talk, right?
Right, yeah.
And so Asmongold has been getting hounded to play Final Fantasy for ages, and he's always said no, and then he decided to finally do it. He finally does it. His stream pops off with 300,000 viewers, like one of the biggest streams Twitch has ever seen. But then everyone else started getting hyped too, because everyone's seeing the major viewership potential here. This is a big moment. If Asmongold is playing it, maybe there's some nice views there. So there has been a huge surge of streamers streaming the game. But one of the biggest things is people now downloading it and trying it themselves. There are free options to get quite a bit of DLC and different things that the developers had to shut down the downloads. They had to shut down purchases for the game because they couldn't keep up with the load. There was going to be too many new players. The servers couldn't handle it, and they had to literally axe it. They're like, you know what? We can make so much money, but we're stopping it because we can't deal with all this money. We don't have enough briefcases. The bank can't take all this money. Like, it's insane.
That's so crazy, dude. Like, imagine. It's like, bro, the Witch Queen is so fire, we gotta shut down Eververse for a little bit. Yeah. Like, y'all are literally spending so much silver, we gotta shut it down.
Yeah.
Imagine having that problem where you have a faucet. Right? You have a faucet that's shooting out money, and you get to the point where you're like, turn it off! Turn it off!
It's too much!
It's bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen a game do that. I mean, there's games like Cyberpunk that pulls their game from the stores, but that's for different reasons. But they're literally suffering from success. And, you know, is this a trend that's going to continue? Asmongold's playing it. I've seen so many different streamers. I mean, even me, I've played in the past and I'm like, sheesh, maybe I need to get back into the game and try it out.
I mean, dude, this is crazy. Like, cause this is like, It's crazy because, like, Final Fantasy Online is like a direct WoW competitor.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It's that classic MMO. I mean, obviously there's going to be difference, but it is like, you know, it's almost like...
It fits
like,
that mold, yeah.
It's Call of Duty versus Battlefield, right? It's like, mm-hmm. everyone's like, why do we compare these things? They're so different. They're not. They're both military shooters. They're going to compete in the same space, right? Like, a lot of people only have the time, not just the money, but the time to go into one. So to have, like, your direct competitor, like, the main, one of the main streamers from your game, jump ship, bring over, like you said, Tash, all these other streamers, a lot of other WoW streamers, see the potential, and two, and all want a little bit of that success too, so they jump ship as well, and you have this mass exodus from WoW over to one of its direct competitors. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you should definitely do if you're the developer of the game where that influencer is leaving? You should definitely crap talk that guy openly. That would be the best. That'd be the best play.
That is a good idea, because there were some leaked messages, like minutes from some meetings. We don't know if it's fully true, but there were some leaks where they were talking about this exodus from World of Warcraft to Final Fantasy. It is the elephant in the room. They're obviously talking about this in meetings, but also, you know, apparently some of the devs at Blizzard got in trouble and they had to send out a company-wide email saying, hey guys, unless you're with the PR team, unless you're with the marketing team, don't be talking to our players. Because apparently some of the devs...
represent us.
Yeah, they were like roasting some paying customers and got in trouble for it. But also, in some of the meetings, they've referenced Asmongold as your boy Asmongold. They've called him toxic. They've called him, what was it? A dog whistler or something like that?
And like a dog whistler for like toxic males or something. Like something like that. This is like a leak, like a 4chan leak. We don't know if it's true. Like, but it's basically like they're, like, it's one of those things where it's like, this is clearly, like, we can see this mass exodus and how it's a big deal and how it's really bad for Blizzard. Obviously, the people at Blizzard are, like, watching the numbers plummet and they're, like, crap in their pants right now. Because there's been a lot of complaints from the community, especially since Activision came into the picture, that things have, like... And also, there's been not only a mass exodus of players from WoW to Final Fantasy, there's a mass exodus of developers out of Blizzard.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so...
And that's an interesting conversation. This could actually be... This whole situation could be good for gamers. Why? Because Overwatch... Or not Overwatch. Blizzard, they sort of embody this idea of when capitalism invades the gaming space, where, you know, they go public, and now these people who are higher ups, it used to be, you know, this was actually part of the conversation this past week about this topic, it used to be the people that work at Blizzard are gamers making games the way they want to game their games. It's gamers making games so they can play those games and hoping that other gamers get involved. It's all gamers. But now, people start seeing dollar signs in the gaming industry. Blizzard goes public, a lot of those original devs are out, and they reportedly have this problem where these higher-ups, they're interested in dollar signs, so the hiring process really looks like hire new blood for a new project, can them, cycle new guys in. It's like the corporate industry all over again. So mm-hmm. how do you stick it to the man?
You
have a mass exodus of players and work and talent, you know?
But that's also the capitalism of... You have this direct competitor who are running things better. Like, it's like, you could, it's one of those crazy things where in the pursuit of money, right, which Activision clearly is, you start to lose money because you destroy your brand and you destroy the things that got mm-hmm. you the interest and the player base and the money. Whereas, like, other companies that have a little bit more foresight maybe and are more player-friendly, they will start to grow and gain in those areas. Like, it's just really interesting because, like, oh, dude, it's a never-ending debate. Like, you, because remember not too long ago, remember with Beyond Light, where Destiny players were saying, we miss Activision because we miss those Activision dollars, bro. We can't even get a PvP map. We need someone to give us a little bit of that Activision money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not so clear cut. Like, clearly Activision is... is also investing into these companies as well. And, it, you know, it's very easy to blame Activision, and I'm sure they're like 99.9% to blame, but also with the mass exodus of people from Blizzard, remember they've had to promote people that maybe weren't qualified or maybe weren't the best at their positions right now. And, like, Blizzard is making a lot of these decisions, too, in the direction of the game, and Activision is just funding them and demanding that they make more content. So it's like, it is just a whole, it's a swirling, it's a toilet. The whole toilet, and it's just one big swirl of just everything going on. Blizzard, it does not look good right now for them, honestly.
The interesting thing, though, is, you know, after some of these leaks were put out, there's actually someone, I closed the tweet, but I saw one from a dev at Blizzard where she essentially said, if you think it's just Blizzard, it's every AAA game studio. And, you know, there's a reason for it. There's these guys that don't know what they're doing at the top getting a $10 million payout while they lay off a bunch of people. And the people that actually created the game are saying, screw it, I'm going to go make my own game. Because unlike us, they actually can do it. They can actually go and make that game, and they can make a damn good game. Funding is another thing, you know, but they're going and making their own studios. Yeah,
you have stuff like Kickstarter. It's like you can get funding from the public. Now, there's been some great Kickstarter games. There's also been some absolute stinkers and people that kind of almost ran away with the money, right? Like, we never... So,
the thing, you know, though, it really... The thing, though, is, like, because they are senior devs that know how to code and, like, storyboard and get things going... If even a few of them go, they can probably get a working build out so fast compared to the average person to then demo it and get the crowdfunding. You know, they can be like, here's the game we're building. Does this look cool? Fund us. Where other people, you know, they got to spend $500,000 just to get something working so they can maybe do that. These guys are like, we know how to build it. We're going to build it.
Yeah.
You take a look and then you pay us. You know, like they really do have an opportunity there to expedite the process.
Or will you see, will you see more Bungies? Like, where Bungie is their own studio and they're self-publishing now. Like, would Blizzard have been better off? I mean, it's such a huge, like, monster developer, but, like, whatever next developer these ex-employees make, or you have, you know, people like Gearbox, it's kind of weird. Like, Gearbox is owned, it actually just got acquired. I think we talked about that story. Like, would it be better off as Gearbox of their own? They're self-published, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not beholden. Well, they were 2K, and now they're this other company. But it's like that could be an interesting thing. We see like more independent developers self-publishing.
Right. One last thing on the Final Fantasy thing, as well as the World of Warcraft, is there are also some more MMOs dropping. We've got Ashes of Creation. You know, that's on people's radar. We've got the New World game. You know, that's the thing, is there is more competition for World of Warcraft now, and
except for New World's charging you to freaking level up, remember?
for sure. And who knows if they're actually good, but I think after people have played X amount of hours of World of Warcraft, maybe they're just looking for something new. Maybe they feel like they've solved the game and they just want a new world to dive into. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We all are gamers and we want to play different games. Some of us play 8,000 hours of Destiny and don't get sick of it. And then there's people like me that quit every 2 minutes. But
It's like, it's also like an interesting thing. Like, you're right. Like, I want, you know, we try to play different games, but like the way games are designed nowadays, it's like they want you to only play that one game. Mm-hmm. It's like you need, you know, oh, you want to get the transmogs for your Destiny character? You better be playing, you know, 10 hours a day, idiot. And you're like, bro, like, chill. Like, it is like the developers, they realize that time spent is like important, and they want to make sure that you're spending all your time in like one game. But it's like conducive to these problems where it's like, you don't leave and come back. You just leave, or you get sick of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you play an 8 hour campaign. Yeah, at the end of the day, you're happy. Whereas, like, in these long-form games, when you leave, you're miserable.
Right, yeah.
It's weird, dude.
Sure.
It's like a breakup.
That's exactly. From a long relationship.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like a fun fling versus a long relationship.
Okay, now, what if you spent 300 hours grinding in-game trying to get gold camo, you're trying to get the dark matter, and then you run into someone in a Warzone lobby, kill them, and you instantly have every gun, every camo, every unlock in the game on your account. Well, that happened. And it is currently happening right now in Warzone. Tell us the story.
Bro, this is like, so Warzone has always had a big problem with cheaters. Like, not only is it a free-to-play, so, free-to-play game. It's like the like, triangle of doom, right? So it's like, free-to-play game, extremely popular, no anti-cheat. And it's just the Bermuda Triangle of cheating bullshit in the game, right? And it's just out of control. They're like, people, I've seen, like, random, like, Instagram videos or, like, highlights or whatever of people who have auto aim, and they're literally just sitting there with their machine gun of people like falling into the war zone, and they're just going full auto, and it's just like tracking them, like just auto aiming. It's just unbelievable. So they have all these cheaters, and it's always been a problem. But now the newest thing is, for I think for whatever reason, it's like I think the cheater themselves made their account level 1,000, have everything. And for some reason, just the way the cheat works, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but if you kill that person, your account becomes level 1,000, everything unlocked. So Nick Merckx, huge streamer, right? Yeah. Huge streamer. He makes long-ass 20-minute videos and gets no hate, but I do. I'm just kidding.
Here we go.
I should be a Warzone streamer, dude. 30-minute games, don't even edit it. Who cares? Anyways, so... huge. He kills a guy and it happens to him on stream in front of everyone. I think it's even in one of his like videos. It's like, so now he is level 1,000, has every unlock, has every camo, and I think also, and this is like the really important part, has every like skin, has every skin for the guns and stuff that you would have to normally buy. So he just has it all. Has every blueprint and stuff for the weapons. So now it's like, everyone's like, oh, like that's the thing you don't do. You could cheat all day long, but once you're impacting Activision sales, because you don't need to buy the sweet blueprint from the store. Mm-hmm. You got it from a cheater. And it's like, will people now like, oh no, I'm in a cheater lobby. Oh, now I have every skin. Like, oopsie doopsie.
Dude, don't you remember back in the day?
Hey, I've got a glitch Call of Duty lobby. Give me one Xbox, you know, Xbox membership, 1 month.
That's right.
They had those all the way back in the first Call of Duty. It's like
1v, third person 1v1 me to unlock all the camos.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, bro, 100%. So it's like that. Now everyone's like really, really, it's just wild there. And it's just so interesting because, like, again, it's taking away sales. It kills your desire. Like, a lot of people play...
Your drive to play is gone.
You're going after... One of the big things is Damascus camo. If you unlock gold on everything, you get the... I think it's Dark Matter or Damascus or whatever. I'm mixing the games up, but it's like Dark Matter camo for unlocking every gold camo on every gun. You just get that. Nick Merckx checked on stream. I saw the clip. He's like, I have Dark Matter. It's like, bro. So, apparently... Oh, so apparently it's already been patched, but still, it's like for a little bit there, that happened. But it's like, you patch it once, it's going to happen again.
Right. They ban Nick Merckx.
Well, oh, that's right, yeah. That's, dude, here's the extra crazy part. So this happened, right? They claimed it's being patched, but it's like, they've actually banned people wrongfully before. So Call of Duty takes like a ban hammer approach where they just like ban like 100,000 players, right? There's always like apparently some of the people that get kind of caught in the crossfire and just get banned as well. Because that, you know, like people will report players for like just winning who are just good, right?
Right.
Just people will like auto report. So it's like, now it's like, how do you know who's like, I have level 1,000 and everything, but I got it from killing a guy. Like, how do you know that?
Exactly. So are people that, you know, just happened to be in the same lobby as Nick Merckx and like killed him before he won the, you know, won the gulag? You know, like there's so many situations here. And if he's going to do it to Nick Merckx, he's probably doing it to other people and for other people. Like,
100%.
It just also shows you how out of control some of this cheating is. Like, they've gone into the code, altered it so that killing them unlocks everything for you, so you're impacting my game now. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And
it's crazy because Dude, yeah, you're right. Like, how did they design... How, like... How did it take this long to get patched? Like, how did it take days for... It's kind of like how we've talked about. How do you not know, Bungie, if I'm shooting 1,000 round per minute mountaintop? Like, how is there no, like, detection? Like, wait a minute.
That's an anomaly event.
This guy's shot in 3,000 mountaintop rounds in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's not possible normally. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think Luna Faction Boots works that well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So just insta-ban. So the fact that they're getting under these, sensors, and they're this is a thing, it's going to happen again and again and again, because there's no anti-cheat.
That's the thing, like, I don't know how any of this works, but I feel like the way to do it is to have some sort of a system that's basically anomaly detection. If an anomalous event happens, like 1,000 rounds were just fired in that second, investigate that anomaly. Like, if you could detect those anomalies...
Or a headshot percentage. Like, you finish a game with, like, 99% headshots, you're fucked.
That's
bad.
And that's an anomaly, right? I mean, you at least... It's at least a red flag for someone to go in there and manually check and see what actually happened and say, okay, yeah, clearly, this is not right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's interesting because someone in the chat was like, you know, we said, how is this happening? And they say, oh, it's Activision. But that's the key point. This time, they found out how to unlock every single purchasable skin. Like, that, you say, oh, it's Activision, they don't care about cheaters. Now they do.
They
now
care they about freaking that.
Because if they found out how to unlock every single item in the store, got like, they didn't just find it and now it's irrelevant. This is now going to be a thing. Like, why wouldn't they just change the code slightly? They found out how to do it once. They're going to find out how to do it again. And once they start hacking to unlock every single purchasable item in the game, that's going to impact Activision's bottom dollar a lot.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing is it's not just Activision, because it's happening in a ton of different games. There is so much cheating going on in gaming. Apparently, even on Destiny, like, there's been the PC issue. Apparently, console players are able to cheat now. I haven't looked at all the details, but that's one game. You know, the Activision games, like, any shooter that they have right now is going to be under, you know, have similar systems. So any Activision shooter game that comes out, risk of cheaters until they get this dealt with. You know, there's rumors that Apex Legends has cheaters. You know, Ryan was talking about earlier that, like, you know, it's maybe not as prevalent as other games, but at the same time, they hacked into Titanfall and shut down the servers. And, like right. These companies, they're not in control. They are not in control of the situation. And it might just be, you know, an outlier here and there hacking their game. But, like, the fact that it's even happening is insanity. These are billion-dollar companies. And it's like, do you know what? We're going to skip on the seatbelts, okay? We love the car. We love the engine. We're going to do everything. But we're going to just skip out on the seatbelts. And now they're getting into car crashes. And they better figure it out quick.
Yeah.
I don't envy them. That's a tall order. You know, you never underestimate. If that's one thing we've learned. Never underestimate the capacity of somebody to understand your systems very, very well and to manipulate them. People are talented.
It's the people that got laid off at Blizzard and they're like, okay, we go.
What can I do with my skills?
I mean, they're making big bucks. Like, you got to pay for these cheating services.
Well, you remember an earlier episode we did when we covered that bust out in China.
The guy has like $1 million.
Tens of millions of dollars worth of.
He has $12 million just in cars. It's like, brother. Yeah. Like, but that means if there's big money to be made cheating, I would assume there's big money to be made with anti-cheat, like developing a good anti-cheat and selling it to these companies, because now it's like a competitive advantage. If you told me, it's like, okay, Battlefield 2042 is coming out and we have a rock solid anti-cheat and we have 200 people and their entire job is to monitor and ban people, and they just are working in the anti-cheat squad, right? Where it's like, right now, they actually admitted Respawn admitted they have like two people working on Titanfall. They're like, it's like two devs trying to bring back the Titanfall service.
Steve and Frank are in the old janitor closet. Yeah, you set them up and they're running type. Like, brother, I don't know what they're doing.
Frank, hey, you fix those Titanfall servers yet? It's like, brother, what are we doing? So now it's like, if you're telling me a game has a rock solid anti-cheat, that will be a competitive advantage. Like, that will bring people over to play whatever shooter that is.
Yeah. You know what? The crazy thing, though, is like, you want to make the next Fortnite? No. You want to make the next Warzone? No. You want to make $1 billion? Make an anti-cheat and sell it to Activision. See, yeah, I've got the perfect anti-cheat. Like, I bet you that's going to happen. There's going to be a tech company that specializes in...
Yeah.
I mean, the only issue there, I suppose, is like, if they don't have the back end of the games,
they'd have to know the code,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe they can't code it that way, so it might have to be an internal thing. But like, these companies need to start throwing money. If Halo Infinite comes out and there's a bunch of cheaters, dead. You just killed your game. You killed the competitive scene. You killed the hype.
But like, did you? Because every game, like, I kind of agree with you, but it's like every game has cheaters, so everyone's freaking used to it. I think the difference is like, if Halo does have a good anti-cheat, it will start to absolutely siphon the players of Call of Duty and stuff who are so sick, and their friends are telling them, yo, Halo Infinite's got a good anti-cheat. Like, I never see cheaters on Halo Infinite. You think that's not going to matter? Like, that's going to be a huge competitive advantage.
Yeah.
I agree that it's going to hurt it if it doesn't have anti-cheat, but every freaking game is infested by cheaters. It honestly won't even make a difference at this point, but it will make a difference if they have a good one to take away other people's players. Like, the first big AAA shooter to do it, everyone's got to follow suit, because everyone's just getting away with it because no one's doing it.
Until someone sets a new standard, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Now, speaking of taking players and taking... maybe content creators. YouTube has the potential here to overtake Twitch in watch time, in the amount of people streaming on the platform, because they have once again doubled down on trying to improve their services. They've added a clipping feature similar to what Twitch has.
That's huge.
They've added polls and other interactions that you can do live on stream.
Wait, so people can clip us. Start clipping our great clips and rants and share them.
Yes.
So we are three dead channels trying to make a podcast. We don't need our podcast to die too. We need you guys to So start clipping these banger moments.
This is actually a huge deal. Clips is, if you interact with content on Twitch, you know how big a deal clips are. Clips can be shared anywhere.
Yep.
They capture some of the best organic live streaming moments, and... as a YouTube streamer, and I've done plenty of YouTube streams, that's always one of the things that you miss out on. You gotta go back through your whole broadcast, find that moment, download the whole file, and then, you know, it's a whole process. But it's so much better for drumming up hype. I know there's so many times I've checked out a stream for the first time because I was browsing Twitter, someone shared a clip, I thought, that's kind of funny. I clicked the link and went to the live stream.
That's how I learned about Doc, you know?
Yeah, that's right, and that's great. If I'm doing a live stream and it's a 7-hour stream, you know, and maybe at hour number two, I do something and people really react positively to it, they can post that on their Twitter, and without me doing any legwork after the fact, I can actually get organic growth right then and there from a couple more people come in and check it out, because that's huge. Clips are huge.
Yeah, it's like how you go viral as a streamer is through clips. Right? Like, it's not going to be your entire stream. That's so, like,
it's
so,
the moments.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you could make the argument, like, what's taken YouTube so long? It's such an important factor. Like, what have you been doing? But it's like, now that they have it, it's like, YouTube is definitely catching up. They have clips now. I think there's a bunch more features. Yeah, you can have, like, polls, subscriber-only polls, subscriber-only chats and stuff like that. That's all great. And they're making these big strides towards Twitch. Whereas all Twitch has done is DMCA claim everyone, and then now they have animated emotes, which is like...
sombreros!
Cool. It's like, cool. But like, is it really that big a deal? Like, no. So yeah. YouTube's really making some plays here.
And they're adding that applause feature for different gaming content creators or just creators as a whole, you can like, kind of like a super chat, but you can just do it on someone's video. So you're like, hey, I like this video. Mm-hmm. You can throw them a dollar, have like a thing pop up. And so they're adding all these reasons, or I guess they're adding all these different ways for creators to monetize.
Yeah.
And they've got like these systems being implemented, like the clipping. And so it's like, sheesh, maybe this is the better option now. YouTube is so much bigger than Twitch as is. And so if you move, you get that first mover advantage, you become one of the big streamers on YouTube, you got a big platform. You got a big playground to play in, you know? And yeah. I think it's going to become more and more appealing. I think we will see, as time goes on, people moving over. I have said it multiple times. I am on the cusp. I'm sitting there and I'm like, maybe I should just do it. Maybe I should take the gamble and see where I go. But
I also think, like, if anyone asked you guys, like, I want to get started as a streamer. Well, first of all, I'd probably say don't. But, like I want to get started as a streamer. What platform should I start on? I think I would say YouTube every time, just because it's got that search bar. So, like, you will search Fortnite event, and all these freaking live streams come up, right? Yeah. So it's like, I don't even, can you even do that? I think you can somewhat do that on Twitch, but not really. It gives you like this
directory. It would just give you the directory.
The directory is always organized by like most viewers, not necessarily like what you're relevant to your searches. Where it's like, I want to see who's, like, I want to see Grandmaster content in Destiny. I don't want to see Trials, right? So it's like, it's harder to find exactly what you're looking for, whereas YouTube is a much better place to search and discover.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Agreed. And, you know, it just, where is the competitive advantage of Twitch? Where is it going? All the features that Twitch has, YouTube is getting. And maybe even more.
Does YouTube have the ASMR content?
No, but they got that yoga.
Yeah, they got the yoga.
That's true. I've learned a lot about yoga recently.
I am so much more flexible, especially in my pelvic region. Like,
I've studied so much about yoga recently. It's insane.
Yeah.
But, I got to mention, while we're talking about Twitch, I thought this was pretty funny. So there's this guy named Red Vines. Oh, yeah. He's a pretty big streamer. He's got like 90, I don't know, somewhere around 90,000 followers on Twitch. Like, he's a pretty good sized streamer, right? And he made a new emote for his community, and people clipped it where he said, "New emotes live, guys. I want you to go out there and troll streamers with it and clip it and send me the clips so I can make a video of all the moments that we trick them." The emote was like, I think it was like a 10,000 bit donation, you know, that like star,
right?
I think it's like a red star.
Yeah.
That's what the emote was. So he was basically, it's designed for one purpose. You can put it in someone's chat and make them think they just got a big donation, right?
Because that's like $100 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like $100 donation right there. And so guess what happened? People did exactly what he told them to do, and they took that emote, they went and they trolled a whole bunch of streamers. Of course, people get, even like, especially the small streamers, you know, you got 10 viewers or whatever, suddenly someone drops a $100 donation, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and you're so like, yo, Mr. Really, Beast, right?
Yeah, that's right. The people get really excited about that, you know, and maybe you put the emote in twice, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't cost you anything to put it in their chat. So, anyways, oh, he then does this whole apology. Oh, I'm so sorry. I never thought people would use it like that. And we, you know, the emote's like been taken down because he started getting in trouble because people started telling Twitch, yo, you got to shut this guy down. You got to get this under control. And so it was just so funny because he was just a deer in headlights. And instead of owning up to it, he just completely lies. And of course, all the responses to his post are people clipping him saying, "Go out and troll people. I want to make a video." You know, yeah. It's like, dude, just own it, man.
Yeah,
just own.
It's like, oh,
I'm sorry.
It's so unexpected.
The correct move is, I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. It was a horrible idea, and I feel terrible about it.
Just be like,
that's the correct response.
It's like, I thought it'd be funny to use in some pranks, and then seeing some of the reactions, I felt really bad, especially for these small streamers. Like, it was just a bad idea. Just say that. No one can say that, though. It's like, oh, I never even said it. Like, it's like, but it's like,
that wasn't me. I wasn't streaming.
I'm pretty sure, like, there's got to be something in the terms of service as well. Like, you can't just, like...
harass other content creators.
Yeah. No, well, it's also, like, isn't that, like, the image of a bit, like, copyright?
Right.
I would assume. Because it's, like, you obviously don't want YouTube having those same images. So I would assume, like, you can't just... It would have to match the bit exactly, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like... like, that, I'm pretty sure you can't just make your emote something that's copywritten.
No, so exactly.
Like, he might get in trouble with them for that, too.
Sure, he could.
Because to trick people, it has to match, it has to be identical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to Netflix potentially offering games, question mark.
Yeah.
Streaming games, really interesting.
Mark? Yeah. Fill us in. So,
Netflix just made a hire, and they confirmed the guy's title is Vice President of Game Development at Netflix. That's a big deal. Now, this particular guy that they hired previously worked at EA, and then after that he worked with the Oculus team. So his specialty has been in mobile gaming and VR gaming. And so that leads us to a lot of different questions. So what's the end game here? Is Netflix going to start doing game development? Or are they going to maybe try and find a way to have, cloud service? Because that's what they do is streaming. Are they going to do sort of a cloud service streaming interactive gaming platform? Who knows?
Which is, like, they've got the NVIDIA stuff. But here's the thing, is I feel like Joe Schmo, he's not downloading NVIDIA GeForce Now to play Cyberpunk. But if he goes on Netflix and then... he scrolls over and goes game section, and then all of a sudden he can use his phone to control a game or use a controller plugged in right to his Xbox and play a game off of Netflix that he's already signed up to. That could shift market share a lot. Is it worth doing? I don't know, but like I feel like someone's going to interact with Netflix gaming more than GeForce Now or Stadia or any of these other services that are streaming games.
Yeah, because those are standalone, right? I think that, honestly, that's a good point. Because all of these, like, streaming services fail. Like,
yes.
I can't, if they are trying to do that, you got to ask yourself, like, why? Because it's like, hey, Google Stadia, and everything has flopped in the clouds. Except, I'd say maybe the one that's holding on is NVIDIA GeForce Now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you use it when you're away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's free for like that, you know what I mean? But like the thing is though, NVIDIA GeForce Now, Stadia, these are all like separate services. I have to go to this thing specifically to stream games, and then I get this game and, you know, it's a little too laggy to play competitive PvP ever, right? So that's like the main issue. It's like there's a little bit of like input lag where it's like if your aim is here and I'm controlling it, it's like, you know what I mean? That, like, little bit of a wobble, effect, which, like, means that you can, it's like, you're never going to do it for Call of Duty. But, like you said, if you have a tab in Netflix and you're already on Netflix, it's like, it's just so much more likely you're just going to be doing that at the same time.
Yeah, Sorlex in chat, great point. I think someone else might have mentioned something similar as well. Watching the Witcher series on Netflix, and then you get a pop-up saying, stream the Witcher 3 game.
Yeah.
Right? There's a Borderlands movie getting made. So you're watching Borderlands. It's like, stream Borderlands on this. And, you know, I don't know how they monetize that exactly. I don't know if it's worth it. But it is something they could do. And so I'm excited Minecraft. To see where this goes.
Yeah. Or...
There's Minecraft series on you know, the Minecraft story mode. That's already an interactive thing on Netflix too.
Right.
Or, are we completely wrong? Are they just making games? Like, is Netflix like, we're not doing cloud streaming.
Okay.
Get the hell out of here. They're just like, listen, we have, how many IPs does Netflix have? They have like a new exclusive to Netflix show every week. They got a new one. They got a new one every week, right? So it's like, okay, what's the one with like Charlize Theron and they can't die or something? The Old Guard or whatever? So it's like, boom, the Old Guard game, action fighting game. We make it. We make a game. Or like they have all these IPs that they've acquired, make games out of them. So maybe they're just actually making games.
Right.
This guy's a game developer. He's not like, a stream service coder. Like, what we're talking about is kind of like they take existing games and make you can now stream them through Netflix. And that very well, that might be the case, but if this guy's a game developer, they're developing games. That has nothing to do with a streaming service, potentially.
But also, we just talked about Blizzard and these companies going public and going for the money. How do we know that Netflix hasn't seen Fortnite and they're like, I want a Fortnite.
We can do that.
I want $1 billion.
We need a cut of that.
These are multi-billion dollar companies, some of the highest market cap companies in the world. They can throw money around for research and development. And if they say, do you know what? Let's start a game studio. They can do whatever the hell they want. They want
And they can scrap it a year later and they won't feel any damage from it.
Exactly. And yeah. But the other thing too is they're spending all this money to make movies, right? They want exclusive content. Well, what's more exclusive than we just made our own game that people can play potentially long term, that can do skins and all these different, you know, sequels and DLC. Like, that's another piece of the pie. They can have, you know, that money stream coming in, and it's just, it's got my mind turning. Where are they going to go with this? But you have
the co-launch potential, because like someone made the point where it's like, oh, Old Guard was like a comic. Yeah, but obviously Amazon got the rights for that, right? They have the rights for Old Guard they made the show. But it's like, okay, like now you get the rights, and now, like, remember that one game is like an MMO game, like it started with a D. It was like an action MMO. There was a TV show and the game that went live at the same time.
Oh my gosh. I don't remember.
Is it on my Steam still? Okay, it's called like the... It started with a D. It started with a D, boys. But anyways, the game and the show went live at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that. Like, imagine you're coming out... Why Steam got to install right now, bro? Anyways, you're coming out with that at the same time. Like, that's a big launch. Like, hey, we have... Oh, Defiance. Thank you, chat. Defiance. You guys remember Defiance?
No.
You don't remember Defiance? Idiots, dude. Anyways, like... So imagine, like, you have a video game and you have a TV show or a movie going live at the same time. Like, that's a pretty powerful, like, IP right there. And certain movies and stuff, certain TV shows, lend themselves to also being video games.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there just now, like, a Monster Hunter movie? Did Netflix fund that, or...
I don't know who funded it. I don't know who funded it, but it was a nightmare. So that's a lot of theories too.
Another interesting theory that people were throwing out there is that Netflix could be doing something entirely new, because Netflix has started doing these series that are interactive, where it's a viewer interactive experience where the viewer can make decisions for the character, and then they get to watch the character play things out in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And now you've got a guy whose specialty has been interactive VR experiences, right? And mobile gaming.
Great.
And he's coming on scene. One of the options, maybe this is going to be a new sort of immersive experience.
Like it's kind of like adventure.
Blurs the lines between a preset narrative and a gamer experience, and they sort of mesh a little bit. And so it's a story that you're sort of watching, but you're also controlling and interacting with it in some capacity. So who knows? Maybe they're blurring the lines between gaming and a show.
Did you watch...
Which they've already started to do.
Did you watch Black Mirror and the episode they did with that?
I know about it. I didn't personally watch it. I actually did not like that show.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, there's like, in that particular one, there's like, you know, 10 different endings, and like some of them end like a choose your own adventure. Like you don't go to the store, it's over because you get hit by a car. You know, kind of thing. Like... They can do different endings, but if they take it up that next notch and really make it exciting, and, you know, the thing I was saying is, like, QuickTime events. You know, like, things are going on, and it's like, react to this thing, or else... Like, have you played the Tomb Raider game? Like, she's, like, you know, she's falling down the riverbed thing, and it's like, dodge that tree, or else she gets skewered.
Right.
And so if you want to get through...
Those are graphic, too.
Right?
I remember those.
Yeah, if you want to get through the story or the movie, maybe you need to participate... And it opens up a whole new thing, because then you're sitting down with your spouse or by yourself, and it's a whole event. It's an event.
The only
it's
problem
memorable.
With that The only thing with that, cool idea, but it's like, then you'd need like an input device. And that's really weird when we're talking about mm-hmm. Netflix. Because if like you're watching on a TV, then it's like your remote, like some remotes are like motion sensor now, yeah. which would be great for that, but some aren't.
You need like the Wiimote kind of idea.
Yeah,
maybe when you sign up for their gaming service, they ship you an input, a controller of some kind. Or maybe you go to the store, you pick it up at Walmart, and you know it's got like
But then you've got to make a purchase, though, like an additional, like, I got to buy a $30 controller, and that's a little sussy in like how successful.
Well, maybe
it would
that
be.
Cost is just built into the service. Maybe if you're paying for their gaming package, their interactive viewer package. You buy the package, and that's built into your extra $7 a month, $12 a month, whatever it is that they tack on.
That kind of idea is like why all these other things failed. It's like no one wants to pay an extra additional fee for like cloud gaming slash the. I feel like it would go so much better. Your guys' ideas of like a choose your own adventure video game style movie that just launched on Netflix. You got Netflix, you get access to it, and it's just whole thing, so much hype drummed up. But again, that's the only reason I bring it up is just because like you've got to think like will they have to have an input device for it? Your phone.
He's okay. A mobile dev. Remember, that's his specialty.
True, I guess. And a lot of people have Netflix on consoles. Like every console can run Netflix, so it's like use your Xbox controller, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Press F to doubt. You know, press X to pay respect.
Press F to play respects, baby.
Speaking of pressing X, I guess that's a segue. Battlefield.
Well, before we talk about Battlefield, my goodness, we got to give a shout out to our favorite gaming supplement, Advance.gg. Let me tell you, Advance.gg, the best and only clinically proven gaming supplement out there. Listen, baby, I'm just going to break that down to you. In the description of this video, there's a link to advanced.gg. Fantastic. Gives you long-lasting energy. Tons of different flavors. Like, there's cactus kiwi lime. I got my flavor. M-Tash has got M-Tash mango splash. TV has got just whiskey. Just go to your local liquor store and pick one of those up. And there's a bunch of other fantastic flavors as well. Use code RGH for 10% off. Unfortunately, that doesn't work at the liquor store for TV's whiskey just yet. But we're working
on it.
That's a little shout out.
Battlefield shout out.
Buy Advance.gg. It's fantastic. All right. Battlefield.
So Advance.
This is big news.
It is.
Battlefield. Crossplay and cross save, did you say?
Both? Yes, dude.
They dropped both?
Yes. So crossplay and cross save, both confirmed. Crossplay, apparently there's a little like. So Xbox Series X and S.
S and X to PS5.
To PS5 and PC are in that holy triangle. And those can play together. PC is opt-in.
Right.
Yeah.
With PC. And I think but last gen, so PS4 and Xbox One, they can play with each other, but they can't play with the next gen guys.
Because they can't be in the 64 player lobbies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's huge. And cross progression. So I can play and unlock guns and stuff on my PC and then go play it on my PS5 and have all that same stuff, which is fantastic too. That's so good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that like in between is so good for like, it's really helped Destiny because it's like you can go to these other platforms to like avoid the cheaters, go to console, go to Stadia, etc. And all your stuff carries through all the time. So it is a really good feature.
It's one of the it was one of the big frustrations with Genshin is if you're on PC, you can play on your phone. If you're on your phone, you can play on PC. But if you're on PlayStation, you couldn't go on your phone or PC. They just fixed that. And so I think there's actually kind of a resurgence of Genshin. There is new content coming, but the fact that they're opening that up and now you can play, I mean, I've multiple times logged in on my phone because I'm upstairs. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do my dailies and I'm not going to go downstairs. I can imagine just overall player retention is going to go up for those PlayStation players now that they can play on their phone. And like, you don't need a banger phone to run Genshin on low settings and just get some daily stuff done. So you know, that accessibility feature, the crossplay, it does open a lot of doors, especially for people who might be traveling, right? I know they're not playing Battlefield. Like, I get it. They're not playing Battlefield, but maybe they want to chill on their couch or they want to go on their laptop when they're on a trip or something like that, and it opens up those doors, right?
But the best thing is, like all your friends can squad up together. Like, if this is so huge, because, like, if Battlefield is good, this game is going to be huge. Like, absolutely. Yes, there's the $70 barrier to entry, but it also means there's going to be way less cheaters. And when they ban someone, they generally stay banned, right?
But also, like, if it's a good game, pay some money for it. Like, you know, like it's like, if it's a great pinnacle experience and everyone's hyping it, it's something that's like, okay, I need to budget for this. I need to save for it. It seems worth it, but it has to be worth it, obviously. Like if they put out trash, no one wants to pay the money. But if it is this pinnacle experience, everyone's playing it, maybe it's one of those things where you ask for it for Christmas because it's like, this is the one. This is the game this year that I'm saving up for.
Yeah, and right? Now it's like, and I can all play your friends can...
Right? Yeah, play with everyone. All
your friends
everyone.
Can play together. Like, no, your friend Timmy bought an Xbox One S... You know, Jeremy has the PS5, and you got the PC.
My brother only plays on PC.
You got everybody. Yeah. Everyone's in the same squad playing together, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's like such a big deal in helping a game succeed, because you would not believe how many times, like, a new game's coming out, and, like... People just own different things, right? So it's like, you have a couple friends on the PlayStation, you have a couple friends on the Xbox. Let's say you're on the Xbox and a game is coming out, but your PlayStation friends have bought it and your Xbox friends haven't really, and you're like thinking about it, but you're like, I can't play with them, so forget it.
Right.
Like, now that's not a factor. So that is actually huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there any other main topics before we get into the dark mode?
I think it's just the after dark section, baby.
I just hope that Bungie's crossplay looks exactly like that.
Yes.
Yeah, opt in.
I hope it's like, literally exactly like, I hope it is Xbox One and PS4 together, period. And PS5 and Series S and X are together, period. And if you want to opt in to PC, you can do that. If they do exactly that, we're in business.
And that's how it's got to work. Like, the worry is, like, you get a random PlayStation guy in your lobby full of PCers, and you just go and, like, prey on people who can't turn around fast. So it's like, that's the worry, but you want, like, them console players to opt into going into the PvP, the PC environment, and not the other way around.
Even if you only get 10% or 15% or 20%, whatever the number ends up being, you've just got more players, which is great.
The annoying thing is it has to be like truly... Dude, I remember playing... like Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and I would opt out of crossplay, and I would match people, and I would still see like PC and Xbox symbols. I was like, what the hell is this?
That's an issue because you don't know how to...
I would change it. I'd be like, opt out. PlayStation only, and I would still see PC people, because it was only in the later part of the life cycle. In the beginning part, there was a big enough player base where they could do it, and then they just stopped caring. They're like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
because you could get PC people into like console lobbies, and they would just stay there, and they would just like be trucked around in console lobbies. It's messed.
I guess part of it is like, do we give up search times for console exclusivity? You know what I mean? It's like, this guy's been waiting for 10 minutes. Should we just get him into a game, you know, even though there's a PC player in it? Like, that's one of the tough things of the crossplay stuff. But that's pretty much it for the main topics.
Well, also, speaking of match
never
time...
Never mind. I got cut off again, so...
I want to say, you know... Listen, I just want to say, you talk about match time, you know why it takes so long? Everything has skill-based matchmaking.
That is true.
I'm telling you, that's one of the things they talked about. It's like, if you... Someone did an experiment. It's like, if it matchmakes for exactly 1 minute, it basically goes 1 minute, we've been matching for too long, throw away the parameters, and it just puts you in a random lobby. And usually your connection isn't great, but the skill is actually truly random. And so people are like, if you make for a minute, you're going to dominate the next game, because it's finally like just a random game thrown together.
Right.
It's not like hardcore skill-based matchmaking. Like, that takes up the majority of the matchmaking time.
Right. So let's move on now to RGH After Dark, where we can answer questions to everyone in chat. If you guys have any burning questions, we can do that. Or we can get off topic like we typically do.
Oh my God, so bad.
We got a few new memberships as well, which I will jump to in just a moment here. I have to go to the other screen to do it. Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast, though. If you guys haven't, I just want to give you a quick reminder. We do this podcast every Wednesday, okay, at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you haven't given us a follow, if you haven't hit that notification bell, please do that. And if you guys want to support the podcast and get some emotes, consider becoming a member. We've got a link that I'm going to be posting in the chat right now. It can help us out a lot if you become a member. Because, you know, we do this as a fun little side project, but we do need to pay an editor and all that stuff. So thank you so much for the love. We got a new membership right here. Where is it?
You'll get there.
I'll find it.
How was the vacay? Who are you talking to? Me or the boys?
Oh, Anthony Brown. Sorry, Anthony Brown with one. I Doc Dude and Sem 88888able. Simatable. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
And then so, we got a couple super chats here as well. Andrew Preston. Trovo has some good growth and some awesome reward systems. Oh, yeah. Trovo Live is another streaming service that apparently is trying to compete for market share.
Is there a way I can watch your GCX episode? Good question. It should be in the past broadcast for... Rare Drop on Rare Drop's channel.
They did send us a download link, right? So, yeah, they did. They sent a download link. So, I mean, we could just download that and upload it.
We got to send that to our editor.
Send it to the editor and see if he can have that upload for us this week.
Yeah, maybe early this week before next episode, we'll do it just to throw it up.
Might be a little bit outdated information, but we do talk about the yoga pose meta, I think, and stuff.
No, wasn't it the ASMR? It was like right when the ASMR people got banned. ASMR,
farts, and all that business.
Everything we could ever hope for.
Someone also asked, there's an article that says there's a leak where it's like a Halo X Destiny 2 crossover leak. Who knows, man? I've heard rumors of that for like as long as Destiny has existed. People have talked about like they should have a Halo crossover because it is Bungie. So, like, will it be this year? Maybe. I mean, it would kind of cross-promote Halo Infinite. I think it would be cool. I wouldn't expect anything more than, like, a few Eververse items. Because, like, if you introduce, like, an actual exotic... Like, let's say the battle rifle is now an exotic. It's like, are you saying, like, Halo is, like, canon in the game? Like, Eververse ornaments are one thing. But, like, an actual weapon, it's a little tricky, so... It could definitely be cool. I just wonder how they're going to do it. And I wonder if it's even real. Like, again, this rumor has been around for forever.
Right. Have you guys ever played Splitgate? I never touched it. I appreciate what they're doing. It's like Halo mixed with Portal. It's cool. But, I don't know. I watched footage of it and it looked fun. It looked a little disorienting. But some games just... they kind of click with me or they don't. And it was one of those ones where I saw it and I was like, that's not for me. There's like a BR that came out and it was kind of like Titanfall speed. It was actually faster than Titanfall speed. I don't remember which one. And again, I saw that one and I saw footage of it and I was like, I will never touch that. Like, I won't even consider playing that. It's weird. I'm so picky now. And yet I play anime games, so I don't know.
The BR, the snipe, and the pistol was leaked. Yeah, maybe. Like, again, exotics in the game? That'd be freaking sweet. Maybe, maybe not. Like, who knows, man?
There's also genuinely like really good Photoshoppers and stuff, so it's like, I never know. It would
be sweet, but like, who knows, man? Stuff in the game. What happened to Arms Week? What happened to Arms Week? You know what I mean?
There's some talented artists in the community. There's that guy that posts, like, the Vapor subclass trees. Those look legit, on Twitter, dude. And they look spot on. Like, you would look at that and you would think that's a leak. You know, if he didn't come out and say, hey, look at this thing I made, he could easily say, look what we data mined that's coming in Witch Queen, these Vapor subclasses. And you'd look at that and you'd be like, that's nice. Real.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I gotta look it up. I didn't see those ones. Vapor.
He's really talented. I don't recall his name. I want to give him credit. If you find it, say his name. Since we're talking about it on the show, I'd love to give him credit. What's TV drinking? I'm just sipping on some Minor Case right now. It's a rye whiskey that they age in brandy barrels, so it has a nice sweet aftertaste to it. It's rye up front and brandy in the back end.
Will console ever hold a candle to the PC universe? Listen,
oh yeah,
consoles are a good deal. The PC, like, PC elitists don't want to admit it, but, like, a $500, let's say, like, PS5, that's going to be better than any $500, like, custom PC you can make. Because Sony can buy stuff way cheaper than you can, right? So it's going to have, you know, better graphics, better, et cetera. Or, like, graphical cards and stuff. The internals are going to be better because Sony is going to source them way cheaper than you ever could as an individual.
I'm playing PvP in Crucible at 120 frames consistently, and I don't have to sit there and wonder if I have too many apps open and is my performance going to go down. Like, it's just consistent. I know every time I turn it on and I play PvP on my PS5, I'm going to be playing at 120 frames per second.
Like, PC is 100% better, but it's more expensive. And if you're willing to spend the money, you can get a banger rig, and it's going to outperform any console. But, like, by how much, right?
And, like, you need a mouse, and you need a keyboard, and you need a desk to play on. Like, it's not just the PC, even. You need a monitor. Obviously, you need a TV for the console, but it comes with a controller, you know? And
yeah, exactly.
And so it's like, just, double or triple for the PC, minimum. And then peripherals are another, you know, $200-$300, yeah, depending on how hard you go.
Good affordable way to get into gaming. Like, it's like you start with a console and then you genuinely like graduate to a good PC, right? As like, but it's like hard to go right into gaming with a PC,
or
as kind of a big leap.
You buy the Xbox, get Game Pass, and then you have
every game,
the ultimate,
like,
gamer.
Crap.
What more could you want in most situations? So
yeah, exactly.
Real quick, Vapor subclass guy's name is IDVox, IDVOX. So if you wanted to check that out on Twitter, just type in IDVOX. Is that his handle? It's really cool stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, the
problem
is, I just want
to make sure, since we're talking about him, I want to give him credit.
The problem is, no PlayStation costs $500 because you have to buy one from a freaking scalper every time.
That is true. Jeez, that is a good render. Can I put this on the screen really quick? I'm just gonna jump over to it so you guys can see this.
What's this Twitter handle exactly?
I'm not sure. I'm on his YouTube channel, IDVox. Like, this looks like it's in game. Like, even just the way those light up, that is insanity. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that incredible work? Like, you'd look at that and you'd think,
yeah,
oh, you would buy that. If someone told you that was a leak, you'd buy that.
Oh.
You would be waiting on somebody to discredit it, but your initial response would be to accept it as true.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Sorry to listeners that might be on Spotify. I was just showing a clip really quickly.
Yeah, so for those who may be listening, yeah, it's just a clip of a mock-up Vapor, like, subclass that's made by this guy. IDVox. You can...
And don't look at my recent history of yoga on YouTube.
And again, it's like, that's why, you know, leaks are always sus, right? They're always sus. And for every leak that's right, there's a dozen that are wrong, you know?
What was it? Was it Arms Race? Was that
Arms
the one?
Week.
Arms Week.
It was
Week
in the database, and, right? The Databait YouTubers did like 40 million videos on it and it just never came into the game because, like, not everything in the database shows up in the game. It shows up in thumbnails, you can be damn sure of that, but it doesn't necessarily show up in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
And,
Any other questions?
Any other questions you guys have for us?
I wonder if that was done in a game engine or 3D work and composing. I have no idea. I that's the thing. Until like last week, I didn't know how to make a thumbnail, and then Cacus has been like slowly guiding me.
How do you have like millions of views in Genshin videos and you make your thumbnails for when I try to get you to make a thumbnail? It's like It's like, is this good? It's like a crudely cut out picture. It's
listen,
like
his content speaks for itself. People come for the content. He doesn't have to bait people in with a flashy thumbnail.
Yeah, I don't have to clickbait Top Hand Cannon for the 50th time.
You just gotta clickbait the amount thousands of dollars you spent on a character, am I right?
Master Vogue. Yeah, someone asked our opinions on Master Vogue. I'll give you mine just real quick. I did it at 1341, and I didn't particularly enjoy it. I thought the rewards were pretty cool. You can get some pretty banger rolls on those time lost weapons, but it's just one. What? What do you mean you can't?
You know the thing about the time lost weapons? They have a static roll, and then the top is custom.
Right.
So like, that's I'm very disappointed by that because like. Some of the static rolls are much better than others. Like, the Fatebringer means they will always come with Explosive and Firefly, because that's a static roll. And then you can get two other perks on top of that, which is obviously great, right?
Sure.
Because those are good. But then you have stuff like the Vision, which has full auto and Zen Moment. And it always comes with those two in the bottom. So it's like, if you don't want that, and the Rocket Launcher, it's another one. The utter god rule would be you have Vorpal and Lasting Impression, and you can switch between them. It's like, hey, I'm doing an activity, I want Vorpal. I'm doing a boss fight, I want Lasting, right? But it always gets Cluster Bomb. So it's Cluster Bomb and Vorpal or Cluster Bomb and Lasting, right? So it like, it kind of limits, and the Machine Gun is the worst. The Machine Gun comes with like,
auto-loading holster.
Yeah, basically in like Firefly. I think the Sniper comes with Feeding Frenzy, Firefly, and you're like, okay. But like, how cool would it be to have like Rewind Rounds and High Impact Reserves, and then like Quick Draw and something else, right? And Snapshot or whatever. And then like you have a PvE and a PvP roll in one. You could swap. Like that would be so cool, but that's not possible.
I have a question. Because this is making me think about it. Would Destiny be a better game if it wasn't necessarily a looter shooter? Okay, in the sense that you're chasing loot and hoping for loot, but as you were just saying, you could get a Fatebringer or a Timeless Fatebringer, and there was four perks that you can choose. All of them are good, but you're hunting for the Fatebringer. And when you have the Fatebringer, you can customize it how you want. But you're not trying to get 50 Fatebringers to get the role you want, but you're just getting one Fatebringer. And instead of focusing on just farming loot and getting tons of them, they're focusing the game more on you take those things that you farmed, you use them the way you want to use them in all of these cool experiences we made. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, in Destiny 1...
I feel like that's what I want from the game.
In Destiny 1, you got to remember, like, raid loot was static. The Fatebringer roll was the Fatebringer roll, and that was it, right? Yeah. And it was like, it kind of made sense because it was raid, which were a lot harder content. In fact, to get the Fatebringer, you had to do the hard mode raid.
Right.
So it's like, but now it's like, even in raids, you can get trash rolls. And I don't know if I've ever liked, I don't mind random rolls. I think like almost every roll should be good. And it's just a matter of like what, how you want to apply it. Like, are you trying to get a PvP god roll or a PvE god roll? And you have some differences there and stuff.
Right.
But like, you have perks that are just not good on these weapons. And you're like, okay.
That's the thing is like, it's just so much of the gear is literally useless. It's blues and like perks that I don't want to use. And you know, like,
well, that's the thing about Master Raid. Can I just like, so the time lost weapon is like the cool weapon. It's got the double perks, right? It can use adept mods. Great. It's like, give me a reason to go back into this raid and grind a harder version as a raider. Like, it's like, you're giving me something to do. That's great. Here's the problem. Only one is available each week. So like one, whatever activity, whatever section of the raid has the weekly raid challenge, you do that and you get the weapon from that. And once you've unlocked the weapon, you can go and spend your spoils at the end and get more versions of it. Here's the problem it makes. I don't hate this, and certainly I think it's better than not having this. I'm very glad it's being added to the game. But the problem is like, what did I do this week, right? Last week, the challenge was the encounter before Atheon. So, and we did the whole thing to unlock triumphs and so on. But what we did this week is we simply held on to the Atheon checkpoint, because now it's the Atheon challenge. and we just did the challenge three times in our characters. There's no reason to play the entire raid. You just do the one encounter. You save the checkpoint for the one encounter where the challenge is. You do that. You get the weapon. And once you've unlocked it, you just have the Atheon checkpoint and you spend all your spoils on getting the perfect roll of it.
Yeah.
You avoid the majority of the raid. There's no reason to do a hard mode raid all the way through other than the first time to unlock triumphs. Right. That's the problem.
I also just don't really care for the fact that nothing really changes other than more champions and things are more bullet spongy. So I don't know. Yeah, I could see if you're a hardcore dedicated PvE player, you might like that. Personally, I just found it just unnecessarily aggravating.
I am a hardcore PvE player, and it's like I'm so used to like grandmasters and that type of artificial difficulty that didn't bother me so much. But it was like there's really no reason to play the whole raid. I think the thing that they thought, like, you get more good materials like Ascendant Shards, but anyone who's leveled up enough to do a master raid has every Ascendant Shard they need. We're farming grandmasters.
Yeah, that's right. I farmed GMs and I got nowhere to put all this stuff. Exactly. It's just going to expire, you know?
It was double Nightfall loot last week. It's like, I don't need Ascendant Shards, Bungie, and you've capped me at 10. So I do, I've got had max for years now. Like, piss off. Anyways, so there's no reason for me to do materials, and the one other thing is that every week there's like a rotating stat, and the armor will drop higher of that stat. So it's like recovery week, you get armor with better recovery. That can be good, but the problem is that apparently that also works when you're buying it. So again, all you need to do is go to the Atheon checkpoint and buy a bunch of armor during recovery week, and it's all high recovery armor. So it's like, why am I playing this raid? All you need to do from this point forward is do one encounter and then just go to the Atheon checkpoint and then farm the Templar for spoils and just you spending your spoils on stuff. There's no reason to play the raid start to finish, which is the issue here.
I'm still hoping that I have a reason to play.
Yeah.
In February. When is the release? When is the reveal? August?
August 24th.
I hope they just shock me. I truly do. I hope they shock me. I want to get back into Destiny, but there just hasn't been enough for
Come play with me. I'll take you through a raid. I'll hold your hand.
Dude, I literally am better at raiding than you are, and I hardly even play.
Bruh! Oh, why you gotta say that? I mean, just because it's possibly true doesn't mean you gotta help me in front of everybody.
I'm just bugging ya. But I've heard some of the balance changes recently have been interested, have spiced things up. Apparently shotgun usage just like plummeted from what it was or something like that.
Precision shotgun usage flew up, yeah.
Yeah, Slugshotty's up for sure.
Chaperone was already an issue.
I have hated Chaperone for so long because that thing, the hitbox on that thing is the size of a freaking truck.
It's the same thing. You're 100% right, TV. It's the same thing with like the hand cannon diehards where they've convinced themselves that it requires so much skill, even though you can like shoot someone here and it warps to their face. So skilled.
I was showing clips because I actually covered that in a video recently where I was like, okay, all of you guys telling me I'm using a dad rifle when I use a pulse, talking about how hand cannons are the pinnacle of skill, let me show you some screenshots. And I talk about how Chris Proctor himself, who's designing the stuff, says hand cannons are super forgiving, way more so than any other primary in the game. No. He literally said it. There you go. And on top of that, like I was showing with a 120, I shot a guy in the knee from over 30 meters away. He's jumping through the air over a flag. So I have the 32 meters is clearly displayed right there because that's how far away the flag is. And I shot him in the knee, freeze framed it right on his kneecap, and it gave me a precision hit, and he's dead because I had Rampage up. It's just stupid.
DFP says it got stealth nerfed because his entire channel survives on the Chaperone being good. I'm just kidding. I love DFP, just some friendly banter there, but like that guy is absolutely deadly with the Chaperone, and now you're telling me there's the Chaperone is really, really good, and a lot of the other, like, the roles you can get on the precision stuff is insane. It's like the Blasphemer can get like quick draw opening shot and stuff. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are unbelievable roles. Like, all of them have insane roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually just going to say quickly, that was like when I farmed like the 300 Waking Vigils, is because I realized that opening shot anywhere on like the knees, any, like if it hits their arm, it counts as a headshot for the first shot. Like,
yeah,
it, like within 35 meters, it was like, yeah, it's a headshot. Yeah. And so it was like, well, then you only ever need to just flick to them. You get the shot. It counts as a headshot. And then you do it. It's like, what gun is more? It's like using the DMT, like hip firing it. Like it's just free headshot. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's pretty funny. But
I think they need to pretend. It's like, it's not. Yeah, it's no more high skill than most other weapon types. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and yet they have the highest time to kills. So that's why everyone uses them. And then they bring auto rifles up, and then like all the hand cannon users like cry, oh my god, I got killed by a Suros regime that I heard spinning up from behind the corner, and I still decided to pick shot because I'm a hand cannon scrub. That's what I said. Learn, use your ears. If you hear the guy spinning up, don't come around the corner like you absolute spaz.
Oh, okay, but what about when you're hiding behind the corner and you just hear, and it's bouncing off the walls like a disco show.
Okay, yeah, all right. Notice I said Suros and not hard light.
Yeah, I know.
even I can't defend hard light. That was a little sus. But then it's like, you just get some like absolute sweat lord with a 120. Bang! 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 It's like, wow, you're so good, dude. Like, that's like the pinnacle of skill. I'm literally vomiting with jealousy for how skilled you are. You hit me in the chest and I count as a headshot. Like, get out of here. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of getting killed by hand cannons.
You should sub to their channel.
I just like a healthy variety, and I truly don't have anything against hand cannon users. I just don't like how...
Someone clip, by the way, the peak shot. I wanna...
Please clip that. Somebody clip that. All right. Yeah, we have a clip feature. Actually, clip something for once, you goons. My point is that I'm making, I don't like how... It's almost like the Destiny community expects and wants majority hand cannon usage. I like variety. I would love to see, you know, maybe a hand cannon number one, right behind it, a pulse or an auto. Right behind it, you know, a sidearm, whatever. Like, I don't like how it's like hand cannon before you get into other gun types. And the Destiny community acts like that's, like, good. I don't think it's good.
Is it because of, like, a lot of Halo players being Destiny players, and like I use the BR every day, every fight, every engagement, I use the BR, and I like mastering a weapon. Is it maybe partially that, where they've picked that weapon that they enjoy and they want to master it?
They feel very fun to use. Like, the shooting in Destiny is crisp, it's responsive, right?
Could it be that when Destiny came out, Thorn, Hawkmoon, Last Word, all hand cannons, the best guns in the game, so people are accustomed to that? Like, you know what? There's probably a lot of factors there that it's just become a fan favorite. They're just fun. Yeah. They're fun guns to use.
I think it's a factor, but at the end of the day, I think it is. If you are a skilled player, it gives you the most benefits with the least drawbacks.
And
I think
100%.
That's undeniable. Yeah. There's nothing in the game that can match that much damage with only being visible for less than a second. Like with an auto, you got to sustain it. You got to stand out there. And while it may have a really great TTK, no one's going to stand out there for the full 1.5 seconds.
And land 9 headshots in a row at a guy flying through the air at 100 miles an hour. It's like...
You gotta take 3 accurate shots, or you gotta take 25 accurate shots.
Exactly.
Which is it gonna be?
Right.
Yeah. But if you, but pulse rifles are the dad rifles, right? They've convinced you that that's the dad stuff, and the hand cannon stuff is the mega skilled streamer loadout. Like, that's that's the pinnacle of skill.
Rant over. Anyways, I think that's gonna be it for the episode. Ryan needs to go ice his ankle because he just jumped off a mountain.
Apparently. Dude, I think I had my son hold the camera for it, the GoPro. So I have to see if he held it well, but I might have this moment on camera in high res. But yeah, my ankle's mega swollen because I jumped off a sand dune competing.
Yikes.
Competing with my brother-in-law.
Call him true McGregor over here with that ankle injury, hey, brother.
Leave him alone. He tried his best. Listen, what a disappointing fight.
I bet it looked really cool.
You jumping off a sand dune looks cool.
I thought you meant him breaking his ankle. I was like,
no.
Oh, you jumping off the sand dune? Dude, I bet it looks freaking sick.
Dude, I went knees to chest, and I dropped like a solid 20 feet down the dune.
20 feet? The video's going to be like 3 feet of distance.
he stepped off the curb weird, and he's like, yeah.
It's like when you're...
No, but for real, they're steep dunes. And so we'd start at the top, we get a run start, and you'd see how far you can make it down the slope before you basically crash into the sand and roll down. But it's real soft, pillowy sand. But yeah, I landed wrong. I heard that crisp pop, and then I felt pain. I was like, oh shoot.
It's like when you went off like a jump on your bike as a kid, and your friend's like, bro, you got like 6 feet of air.
I just want to know if flying. in the footage someone yells out, "You need some milk." As your ankle snaps.
He needs some milk as your ankle completely snaps.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody. This is episode 45 of the RGH podcast. I'm M-Tashed.
I'm Kakas HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And we love you. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Forty-five.